from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson.
Don't look back. The past doesn't matter now.
That's Mary Stallings, a local jazz legend who returns to the Bay Area stage next Thursday and Friday when she performs at the San Francisco Jazz Center. Stallings has performed with Dizzy Gillespie, the Count Basie Orchestra, and other jazz legends. Now in her mid-70s, she is still going strong, as you will hear when she joins us in our next hour of Forum. She'll perform live in our studio and talk about her storied career. Mary Stallings, next on Forum, after this.
If you want your heart to stay.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Jazz legend Mary Stallings grew up in the Laurel Heights neighborhood of San Francisco. One of 11 children, she started singing early with her family's gospel group and was soon part of San Francisco's thriving jazz scene. And she's been pretty much singing ever since.
Just in time. I found you just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed.
That's Mary Stallings performing with another jazz legend, Cal Jader, back in 1961. Stallings would go on to sing alongside Dizzy Gillespie, perform with the Count Basie Orchestra, Cannonball Adderley, and many more. And while she's performed all over the globe, she remains a San Franciscan. And next week, she returns to the local stage in two concerts at the San Francisco Jazz Center. In this hour of Forum, Mary Stallings joins us to talk about her storied career sustaining the San Francisco jazz tradition. And if we're really lucky, she'll also perform in our studio alongside pianist David Yudof. Mary Stallings, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you, David. It's so wonderful being here with you.
Such a pleasure to have you be on our program today. What does it mean to you to perform at this place that has been so talked about and brought back into being just in this past year, the new San Francisco Jazz Center? What does it mean to you to come back and perform on that stage next week?
Well, it's just exciting. I think it'll be as exciting as it was the first at the opening presentation of the room of the complex. I'm just so excited for San Francisco to have such a wonderful venue to sustain the music that we love so much, and to actually for generations to come, it's going to be the most wonderful experience for our youth, you know, because it'll be thriving forever.
Why is that so important to sustain, perhaps even regenerate, I guess, interest in that tradition? You grew up with that when that was so thriving in San Francisco, and hasn't always been there. What does it represent? Does it represent a kind of rebirth of that San Francisco jazz tradition?
I would say so, because it's incorporating more young people who would not have been focused on the music. Because, you know, as we know, through the years, young people have kind of got away from the music, you know, and, you know, there's other avenues they took, but I think it's important for them to embrace the American, the true American art form, which is our music. And I think it's creating an energy around people, you know, young people to want to take part in this music, or to just, you know, get the idea of the music, what, you know, what's truly ours.
Describe what that music scene was like in the Fillmore and elsewhere when you were first singing back in the 50s and early 60s. What was that like? Describe what that scene was like.
It was amazing. Of course, I it came up. I came up on the last part of that period. In when I was doing my music, I mean, I started kind of young, but I wasn't able to really work clubs like I should have worked, you know. But at 15, you know, you're just kind of thrown out there. You're lucky to be able to do certain places around the area. And I think my first experience was going in to do a live broadcast. That was my first experience at the Blue Mirror, and I was around 15, 16 years old. So that was my first really being really thrown into the area. But I didn't really work the clubs in that area until much later, after high school. So, but it was just an incredible experience just to know that you had all these wonderful clubs and all of the great people used to come to work. I know as a young girl, around 7, 8 years old, the church in which I attended, my family attended, was across Fillmore, just a block across Fillmore and Geary and Webster. So walking to church on Sunday, it was exciting because all of the clubs, you can just see all the guys and all the ladies on the street from with, you know, that had been enjoying the nights. And the music was still flowing everywhere from, you know, those two blocks we had to walk, there was about three clubs. And it was just, you know, the energy of it was just amazing.
And when you walk down the Fillmore today, what do you not see? What's not there that you wish was?
The life that was lived in my mind's eye. It was very much the crust of the music scene. I mean, there was everybody, all the hotels, everybody was there. So you don't see, you know, that energy that took place with the music, because the music was that, you know, was the life that was lived and being lived in, you know, in that time. So now, you know, it's more conservative. You don't see the clubs. You don't at nighttime. You don't walk down there or drive down there and see all of the people on the street. And it was music. It was the music. Mm. It was the music, and that's, you know.
Would you give us a little of that music and perform something for us?
I'd be thrilled to.
All right. Tell us what we're going to hear.
Well, we chose a George Gershwin tune, Lady Be Good. And it's just a good song for the morning.
Here's David Udoff and Mary Stallings.
Well, he's sweet and lovely, Lady Be Good. Oh, Lady Be Good. Be good to him. He's just a lonesome baby in the woods. Say, lady, be good to him. He's all alone in this big city.
Won't somebody come and shed a little pity? Lovely, lovely, lovely lady. His sweet and lovely lady, be good. Oh, lady. Lady, be good to him.
And David Udoff. Mary will be performing at the San Francisco Jazz Center next Thursday and Friday. On Thursday, she'll be performing with Kenny Barron, Friday with pianist Eric Reed. Could you just come by like every morning and sing for our program?
Well, you know what? It took a little bit to get up on this one so early. I guess it could be happened again.
Such a pleasure to hear you both perform. That was really lovely. The Lady Be Good tune from the Gershwins, written in 1924, first recorded by Ella Fitzgerald all the way back in 1947. You knew Ella Fitzgerald, you knew Count Basie, you knew Dizzy Gillespie, all these great figures from jazz. What did you take from those associations? You, with someone like Ella Fitzgerald, for example, how did that affect you, influence you in the earlier part of your career?
Well, I really actually met Ella in my late 20s. Because I traveled with the Basie Band, as you know, and Ella was, we traveled for many times on different international tours, and meeting her to see a woman so absolutely gifted in every sense of the word, to have such humility, and that's what really impressed me. Obviously, her music, but the person that she was very humble, and that taught me something. You know, to be that great, and to have the humility and the dignity that she possessed was not saying that everybody else didn't have the dignity, but she was very. I don't want to use the word childlike, but it came as a child. I said we all should keep that kind of a spirit with us, and she held on to that. She was never. If she was sad, she would never show it. Her music always expressed such joy, you know.
And yet in the music industry, especially I would think in that era, you had to be tough to get noticed and to make sure that you were given the attention that you deserved. How was that for you? Was that something that you struggled with ever, to sort of put yourself out there, to not be humble? Because it's not an industry that always rewards humility.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, for me, I'm just who I am. What you see is what you get. And as far as achieving, as they say, the great stardom or whatever, you know, maybe you should have that part in your spirit. I just did what I loved. And I knew that in my heart that if you do what you love and you're sincere about it, then you'll be noticed. I was noticed about by many great people, but you know, sometimes it's you know, it's not in the cards for you. There's something else in my destiny, obviously. And I've had a very fruitful life, a musical career. Like I said, I didn't have the big star on the top of the building or anything, but sometimes that doesn't matter. There's something more deeper about life and what you do. You know, I don't do it for the gratification of others. I do it, I mean, hoping they do get something from it. But first it starts with me. I'm very satisfied in what I'm doing when I give. And I give it from the standpoint of my heart. And I feel it'll be received in that way. As far as, you know, getting the going beyond that, sometimes we don't, you know, we just, like I said, you continue to do what you do, and if it takes place, it does. There's people who love me, and I appreciate that. People who are receptive to what I do, and with great respect to it, and I appreciate that. But like I said, it starts with me. Am I satisfied with what I'm doing? Am I honest with what I'm doing? Yes, I try to be it most of the time.
Is that quality of honesty what's key to being an artist, and do audiences see that?
I think that people are pretty intelligent. Audience is pretty intelligent. I think there are people who can fool you. You know, like I said, but you know,
are you going to name names?
No, I'm not going to get into that one. But yeah, I mean, you know, like I always say that most of the material I do is from the standpoint of my experience, or I live vicariously through other people that I've embraced in my life, or people I just, stories I can tell because I've seen, you know, the story take place in life.
In the song you just sang, in that song, Lady Be Good, can you tell us something about what's coming from you there, and what it is that's the honesty of those words and your performance that is coming out?
Well, I just chose that tune because it's just a song that I happen to like. It's and you know, it's nice you know, to recognize that people are hungry for the attention. So I'm telling this lady to be good to this guy. You know, he's a lonely man. He's in this big old city needing attention. So, yeah, I'm just expressing to her for that. And it's just, you know, it's no great seriousness with the song. Yeah. It's just an enjoyable song to sing, you know.
And do you sing it differently now than you would have 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago? I mean, it's remarkable. You look 20 years younger than you are, but you've been on stage for many a decade. Do you sing differently now?
Oh, heavens, yes. You heard the way from Cal Jader.
Yeah.
I was a fresh girl out of church, but I had been, you know, performing, like I said, since I was 15. I guess that at that time, that was about 5 years after, you know, the first experience. But, yes, I mean, I was more of a shouter, you know. You know, as you get older, you know, it's kind of getting mellow. You learn you don't have to shout to make people hear you. you know, like in conversation, a nice soft word, just a kind word, few words, and get on. You know, they'll get you. You don't have to say a whole bunch of words and talk a whole bunch of phrases. So, yeah, the whole way that I sing has changed, I think. You know, like I said, again, with age, you know, you live these things that you try to sing as a young girl. I've loved it. I've seen it. If I didn't live it, I'm looking at others who have. So, yeah, it's, yeah.
Let's listen, if we might, to another little bit of your performing, because I want to ask you about Cal Jader and many of the other people you performed with. Let's hear just a little bit more from that 1961 album, which was called Cal Jader Plays, Mary Stallings Sings. Okay, we're going to have to get that queued up in just a moment. But let me ask you first about how Cal Jader discovered you. He was in the audience one night, and what happened?
No, you know, we had the Black Hawk, which was a very famous nightclub on Hyde Street. And I met him there, I guess, when I was about 16 maybe, or around that time. I used to come to the jam sessions and jam with all the great musicians. And sometimes, some of the name musicians like Barney Kessel. And I was thinking back, I said, my God, all the people I've jammed with. And so anyway, Cal Jader happened to be in the studio. I mean, in the club, and heard me, and his friend Lonnie Hewitt, the pianist, introduced me to him.
Let's hear just a little bit more of that, and then we'll come back and talk more with Mary Stallings.
I heard a mighty rumbling way beneath the ground. Way beneath the ground, it must have been the devil trying to chain my daddy down. I said rocks in the mountains.
Mary Stallings playing along with Cal Jader back in 1961. Gosh, I can't quite do the math in my head, but that's like over a half century ago. How does that sound to you now?
Shocking.
In what way?
No, when I look back, it seems like, I guess it's getting better, but I'll say maybe a year ago, it seemed like it was just yesterday, but I don't know what happened in this last year. it just seems like that was a long time ago.
And you've had such a stunning and stellar career since, and San Franciscans will be greeted to more of that next week when Mary Stallings is back at the San Francisco Jazz Center. She'll be there on Thursday, January the 16th, and then again on January the 17th, first with Kenny Barron and then with Eric Reed. That's next week at the San Francisco Jazz Center. We have to take a short break as we listen to a little bit more of Mary Stallings, and when we return, we'll talk more with her about her career, about the legendary people she has performed with, and what lies ahead in her career as she continues to bring the sound of San Francisco back to the forefront here in the Bay Area. This is Forum on KQED. Join us for more after this short break.
I want a Sunday kind of love. I want.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our guests this hour, the legendary Mary Stallings, who will be performing at the San Francisco Jazz Center Thursday and Friday of next week. She'll be joined by Kenny Barron at 7:30 on Thursday, and then with Eric Reed on Friday at the San Francisco Jazz Center. I want to ask you, Mary Stallings, something about what you've learned from the various jazz legends that you performed with. You took some time away from your career, raising your daughter for a while, and then a fellow by the name of Dizzy Gillespie, I think, gave you a phone call. What happened then? And tell us something about your association with that particular jazz legend.
Well, he's been a very strong influence on me in that at those little sessions at the Black Hawk, He brought me out of the audience, I guess prompted by some of the fans saying, oh gosh, he's got this Mary, this little girl here, Mary Stallings, is a singer. So I jammed with him. And then anytime he'd come in town, it was like a standard thing. I'd go in and jam with him and sing with him, you know, with the Blackhawk. And then eventually later on in life, he just had a chance to hire me to do the Monterey Jazz Festival. And from then, I did a little short tour with him to South America. Just his presence, along with his great playing, it was just a great association. Again, I've met so many great people who had such wonderful spirits who were so very loving and giving to me. And all of it's been a great influence on me.
Why did you decide to step away for a while? I mentioned that you were raising your daughter, of course, and I'm sure that was central to that decision. Why did you step away, and then what brought you back?
Well, actually, sometimes, you know, you get burnout of things. I mean, I had been traveling a lot in those years and on my own also. For me, it came to a place in your life where you think that you really want to just do something else. First place, I wanted to try to make my family, to be there for my family, to enrich in my life, you know, because I knew that I had a husband and had to have a connection here to make things right, you know. And then my little daughter came along, and I really wanted to be a part of that, and I was so glad that I did. I don't begrudge that one moment. I had a chance to be a PTA mama, a room mama, making cookies and cakes for the children, and then took on another way of living for myself, doing designing clothes and doing the thing. So it's been very fruitful. What you see today is a woman who feels very accomplished about herself. Doesn't have the star on the bill, but she feels very comfortable within herself that I've lived the things that I was predestined to live. I was supposed to be a mother, supposed to be a wife. That didn't work with a wife thing, but I have my daughter to prove it was beautiful. It was supposed to be.
But the daughter and the PTA and the cookies.
The cookies and, you know, Miss Evans, they loved me. They loved to see me coming. That was a joy.
So what brought you back? When Dizzy Gillespie called, what did he have to say to persuade Mary Stallings to get back on stage?
Not very much. Well, you know, he knew that he met my family, and he came to house when I was with my family, still living at home, and saw the community that I was raised under. And he knew that I was kind of a, you know, there's a kind of a thing. I was an artist, but I was a person who loved family also. That was very important to me. And he knew that, and he saw it, but he just said, you know, you can't deny what you are. He said, girl, I got a job for you if you want to take it. And I, you know, didn't have to twist my arm too much. Yeah.
Well, I hope I won't have to twist your arm to sing once more for us.
Not at all.
So we are now going to hear an old Billie Holiday tune, right? It's called Me, Myself, and I. So once again, let's listen to Mary Stallings accompanied by David Udoff.
Myself and I, so in love with you, we're all think you're wonderful, we do. Me, myself and I, have just one point of view, we're convinced there's no one else like you. It can't be denied, dear, brought the sun to us. We'd be so satisfied, dear, if you'd belong to one of us. So if you pass me by, three hearts will break in two. Me, myself, and I are so in love with you. Me, myself, and I are so in love with you. We all think you're wonderful, we do. Me, myself, and I have just one point of view. We're convinced there's no one else like you. It can't be denied, dear, you'd brought the sun to us. We'd be so satisfied if you'd belong to one of us. So if you pass me by, three hearts will break in two. Me, myself, and I are so in love with you. We'd be so satisfied, dear, if you belong to one of us. So if you pass me by, three hearts will break in two. Me, myself, and I are so in love with you. Me, myself, and I are so in love with you. Ooh, ooh, so in love with you.
That was fantastic. Mary Udoff and Mary Stallings, rather, and David Udoff performing for us this morning and for all of us listening today. You know, that's one of those rare times when I wish we had a video camera, because watching you perform is as delightful, I think, as listening to you. And you would have thought there was an audience of hundreds, and it's just David Udoff and engineer Jim Bennett and me sitting here in this studio. Is that true for you, sort of? The size of the audience doesn't matter, that it's the music.
It's the music. And I'm motivated by just, you know, doing the things that I love so much and having a fine accompanist to be able to have this conversation back and forth together is so important to me. And audience, if I can touch one heart, you know, I perform the same as I do with one or 10,000. It's always, it's, you know, it's just part of my love, what I do.
Do you ever sing to someone? Or are you thinking of someone? I love the lyrics from that song. If you pass me by, three hearts will break in two. Me, myself, and I are so in love with you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, yes, I reflect. I have this CD says, don't look back, but I do look back, you know, for whatever, you know, I don't look back with regret. And I should make that statement too. I don't look back with regret. I look back to center on the things that has been a joy in my life that has brought me to this place of today. So, So I do reflect. Yeah.
And what do you still want to do? I mean, you've had such a marvelous career and have, you know, the New York Times referred to you as the best jazz singer living today. Is there still more that you want to, places you want to go, songs you want to sing, performances you want to give?
I want to do it until I until there's no more voice, no more gigs. Like I said, it's my life. I mean, I started so young, so that's what I know best. I mean, I have many talents. I can do so many different things, and I'm grateful to step away from music to find out that I can. I mean, I have enormous things I can do. But this is my love. This is my way of communicating with people, touching people who I normally wouldn't be able to touch otherwise. But through song, it's a bridge. You know, you reach out. I mean, I've been traveling all over the world. I've traveled places where people don't even speak the language, don't, you know. Music is a sense of communication. You get to their hearts. Because the heart is your heart to my heart to your heart. So, yeah. So maybe I'm getting away from what you asked me, but...
Not at all.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in that heart that you would like to reach that is San Francisco. This has always been your home. And yet, as we talked mm-hmm. earlier, the Fillmore is not what it once was. Mm-hmm. What do you want to try to reach right here in San Francisco? What's the bridge, I guess, that you would like to cross?
You know, I just... it's very sensitive because I love my... I love... My people, my area, you know, San Francisco, because it's a melting pot. I want people to really, if I be a little voice to help people to really appreciate the music that is given. This is a true American art form. I can't say, you know, it belongs to one people. It belongs to the people. And there are many faces who play this music, many faces who perform this music. And I just want San Francisco to come together or, you know, many other countries to recognize San Francisco as have the great San Francisco Jazz Center as the New York Jazz Center to come and just embrace and be a part of this music. I want San Francisco to really embrace their music, you know. This classical music, that's European. I mean, it's wonderful, great music, and we've drawn from that too. But this music is a very, has a heart, a spirit that should be maintained. And if I can just be a little voice in that to have this music to continue on, I'm very grateful because I can say I'm really truly a part of that, you know.
The only part of that I think I disagree with is you're having a little voice.
Well, thank you.
Mary Stallings, our guest this hour. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you have a question for Mary Stallings, we have time to take some calls. You can join us at 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786 is our number. You can also send us an email or post your thoughts on our webpage or on our Facebook page. Here's something that someone wrote in. Charlie and Patrice wrote, Mary Stallings sounds wonderful. Her piano player sounds great too. She is one of the great and real San Francisco singers, a real stylist who brings the highest quality to everything she does. We were great friends with her talented cousin Ron Stallings, a leader of the Bay Area rhythm and blues jazz scene from the late 60s until he passed away a few years ago. We followed him around. We became great friends. The Stallings family has set an example for all Bay Area musicians playing and singing with great feeling.
What a nice thing.
Your family, you grew up in a musical family, and this references your cousin Ron Stallings. Is that something that has been a part of you all along? Has that family influence always stayed with you? Do you still go back to those gospel roots of singing in church?
Well, I don't get a chance to do that much anymore. But that was the family environment was very powerful because all of my sisters were musicians. And one went on to study at the Conservatory of Music and very accomplished a pianist, two of my sisters. And they sung, you know, were singers also. And we joined in a family group together directed by my mother. And we traveled up and down the coast here singing gospel music. And I was inspired by that from the very early years. Also my uncle, Orlando Stallings, was a musician also who had a big band who played, came to the house to rehearse with a lot of the big bands, and I got smitten with that. And the same uncle influenced Ron Stallings because they all lived in the same complex. I had Carol Stallings, Neil Stallings, Ron Stallings, and Dickie Tony, Carol Stallings. I said Carol, but I had Jimmy Larkin, who was also a cousin my mother, my father and his mother were sisters. So Uncle Orlando was the key to all of us learning our music because he was a horn player, reed player. So Ron and everybody in that house were musicians. We didn't live in the house, but, you know, but all had a whole complex of home my grandma owned, and everybody in the family, dad, all the brothers lived there with their kids who were turned out to be musicians.
And, you know, it makes me think about, you said earlier that when you took that time away to be a mom and to be in the PTA and to make cookies, that I wonder if we aren't part of what we aren't missing now when we talk about what's no longer so vibrant in San Francisco is just that both that early familial influence, but also just having music in the schools. You know, we don't do that so much anymore. Yeah. We think that that's extraneous somehow, that we have to focus on the so-called hard topics. Do you wish there was more of that? Do you feel like there is a need to sort of, I don't know, get that going early on in our schools?
Absolutely. A lot of children got a chance. You know, if it wasn't from the church, it came from a school. Because even my daughter, who is a professional singer, Adriana Evans, now she started in school in the bands playing flute and learning a little bit of violin. And so that innately is with, you know, the way to start and, you know, the beginning for a lot of young people who don't get a chance to get out there, you know, to have the clubs to go to. Oh, who's going to go to a club with a kid? What am I saying?
So here's my proposal. I think you and David Udoff should start going around to all the San Francisco schools because I can't imagine kids not being just totally taken in and entranced and inspired by what they would hear.
Yeah. You know, I think there used to be a bit of that. I don't know if they have it as now, but they used to be a couple of years they had a bit of that. I guess they call it music in the school.
And the San Francisco Jazz Center actually does some of that too, where they bring in young people.
Well, they have their orchestra that they that rehearse there, and actually a recording right now, I think. That's the whole premises of the San Francisco Jazz is to inspire young people to perform. So they have, you know, the kids come there. I mean, you know, driving past, you see the kids with their instruments and really working. They have a great band. Great young band.
Some other comments coming in. Carol writes, "You are such an inspiration. Your voice and heart are so connected. Thank you for being here in San Francisco and coming back to the stage. You touch us through your music and singing."
Wow.
Carl tweets, "Mary, it's so good to hear you again. You have that Carmen McRae quality to your singing, but with a unique flair." And John writes, "I can hear the gospel roots in Mary's voice. Could she say something more about that heart and sound in her voice and life?"
Well, you are what you are. You know, you are what you like. I always say the spiritual side of me is very important to be connected, and that's something you don't get away from. You know, it's just I'm not a phony. This is where I live every day. This is me every day. So it's not something that is programmed or tried. It just if it's in you, it'll come out. You know, and sometimes people are hidden. They don't know what they have inside of them because they're so busy looking at what they think they should be. And it's, a lot of times it's not. I'm who I am, you know, because the spiritual connection is very important in my life, and that's who I am.
Let's take a call. John in Milpitas joins us. John, go ahead.
Yeah, this is John in Milpitas, and I just call up to say, you know, this just takes me back to when I was coming of age in San Francisco in the 50s, and all the clubs that were there. I remember Wesley Johnson had his two clubs out on the outer Fillmore. One was, I believe, was called the Texas Playhouse.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I actually did work for Wesley Johnson's his home. He was living on California Street.
In Broadway.
Maybe a half a dozen blocks west of the Visadero.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so great, you know, to hear all this and be in contact with it again.
Don, thank you. Thanks for the call. Happy to have you join us on our program. And you have time to join us, too. We have a few more minutes left in our program. If you have a thought or a comment or a question for Mary Stallings, you can join us at 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. You going to record again? Your last recording came out, what, 2 years ago?
No, just a year ago.
Just a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I try to record every year. So, yes, I'm working on a project right now, hopefully, and I'll get it finished probably midsummer.
And what about touring? Will you continue to do that, or are you going to stick closer to home in the years ahead?
Oh, no. I mean, half gig, we'll travel. I'm traveling now, right now. After this performance here, I'll be moving again around. And I plan to do that. Like I said, as long as I, you know, have a voice and the desire and great health, that's what I'll do for the rest of my days, I hope.
And do you have a what's your sense of whether or not those clubs that Don was reminiscing about and others, whether or not that sort of scene can come back, or is that just so much romanticism and that we really shouldn't reflect on that? We should think about other ways in which music can be renewed without thinking we're necessarily going to go back to those old days.
Well, my feeling is this. What is behind us is behind us. I feel we can try to duplicate, you know, a little of that. It will never be that because you don't have that kind of heart. You know what I mean? You know, I won't say the heart. That kind of lifestyle is not quite conducive of today, you know. They're trying to regenerate the area, and I think that it'll be very, very exciting. I think eventually, as the people who want to invest in clubs, it could be a very thriving situation. But nothing is duplicated. You know, it's kind of hard to say that. It's just a new kind of way of thinking today. Yeah.
Joe in San Francisco has a comment she wants to include in our conversation. Joe, go ahead.
I just wanted to say you're bringing back my old memories where before you were even around. And it was in a club named Billy Berg's in Hollywood. Have you ever heard of it?
I've not heard of
When I was still only 18, way underage, but I was a camera girl there. And Dizzy Gillespie, Slim Gaylord, and a whole bunch of the rest, Billie Holiday, all of those people played there, were there in person. And you're just bringing back my memories, which nobody else remembers.
Well, listen.
Anyhow, and I want to say thank you.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for the call. Christopher in Fremont is next. Christopher, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I just caught the tail end of the program, and hearing Mary's voice, I thought, oh, my gosh, is that Mary Stallings? And I got so excited. I used to work at Bick's Restaurant, and I just think that her presence and her grace, I mean, she just has this real amazing star power, and hearing her sing was always just such a treat. And many people said, oh, but you have to see her on the big stage because, you know, she just really she's on fire when she's on the big stage. And I can only imagine what that might be like. And I look forward to having that possibility in the future to see you on a big stage, Mary.
Oh, how lovely. And who is this again?
Christopher.
Chris, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm well.
Thank you for the lovely comments.
Christopher, thanks so much for the call. And I guess I would just add to that, you know, you don't need to hear you on a big stage. It's wonderful to hear that, but I can tell just hearing you in our small studio, just hearing you anytime, that it's about what you give, not necessarily the size of the stage.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, you know, it's just what you love. What you love, you'll just do. And you don't think about, you know, the consequences. You just do it. And if it's, like I said, if it's done in honesty and truth, you know, it'll resonate to that one person if it needs to. Yeah.
Well, we are so fortunate to have us be among the recipients of your voice and your gift. Thanks so much for being part of our program today. Thanks to David Udoff as well for his wonderful accompaniment. We want to remind everyone that Mary Stallings will be at the San Francisco Jazz Center next Thursday and Friday with Kenny Barron at 7:30 on Thursday with Eric Reed on Friday. Mary Stallings, just a joy to have you on our program. Thank you,
Dave. Appreciate it.
And we will go out by listening to a little bit more of Mary Stallings. This is from her 2010 recording of Don't Look Back. I'm Dave Iverson. This is Forum on KQED.
Look back. The past doesn't matter now. You know that love can turn into tears. Don't look back. If you want your heart to stay forever young.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation. Support for KQED Arts is provided by the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation and the members of KQED.